Welcome to the Apparel Entrepreneurship Podcast. We are your hosts, Anna and Klaus Christensen, founders of Apparel Entrepreneurship, your go-to source for running and growing a successful, meaningful apparel brand. Each episode will give you hands-on tactics and practical strategies about everything apparel entrepreneurship. You'll also hear inspiring conversation with apparel industry experts and entrepreneurs about their tips and journeys in this fast-paced industry.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Apparel Entrepreneurship Podcast. Today we have the incredible honor of talking to Brian Hill from Phoenix, Arizona, from the US. Brian is a self-taught designer and the executive director of Phoenix Fashion Week, focused on launching emerging fashion talent for long-term success. Brian is also the host of the fast-growing podcast Fashion Rewired on Apple, reaching over 100,000 listeners. Brian has over 15 years of experience in the fashion industry, beginning as a t-shirt designer, then launching his women's fitness apparel brand on the campus of Arizona State University. Brian's tell it like it is common sense approach to strategically building fashion brands from the ground up for fast growth, long-term success, and teaching these principles to driven fashionpreneurs globally is what drives him today. Brian, welcome. We are really glad to have you with us today. I mean, you have such an incredible career and incredible achievements. What have I missed?
Oh my gosh, Anna and Klaus, how are you guys?
Very good.
I'm so honored to be on this podcast. Apparel Entrepreneurship is brilliant. From the first time I met you guys online to now, you've been nothing but gracious to me, designers from around the world, and again, it's an honor to be on. I think something you didn't know about me maybe is I started this off as a wrestler at Arizona State University. I was a national champion Greco-Roman wrestler, and I bring the wrestling kind of mano-a-mano mindset to fashion, believe it or not.
Tell us a little bit. What does that actually mean? What does that actually mean?
Sure. You know how I think designers, more so than not, are on an island in the beginning, right? Solopreneurs. Yeah. Well, as a wrestler, it's you and the opponent. You are by yourself. And you can't blame your coach, your family, your upbringing, your limitations. It's just you, win or lose. And when you can draw that inner strength, right, and get some great habits, some great, like, work processes and things like that, and see yourself grow towards your own goals, I feel it's exactly like being a solopreneur in fashion.
That's very true. And I was thinking, I mean, in the beginning, how did you get started in fashion? Did you really see yourself heading in this direction?
No, I didn't. You know, I was at Arizona State University. I was a wrestler, a walk-on athlete, and just stumbled across making my own t-shirt on campus. And it was actually the Arizona State University Polo Club, which was a club that actually didn't exist on the campus. And I created this shirt and really a lifestyle that you thought it would be to be a part of the Polo Club on campus. And we started selling t-shirts and people bought them. And it was kind of mind-blowing to me because literally we created a brand and emulated what you would mean to be on the Polo Club. And then, didn't know this, but I got some fraternity members and some sorority members to then sell the shirts in their clubs, in their groups. And it was kind of like a little distribution society I put together. And I had some GDIs, which were independent people who didn't belong to fraternities and sororities. They had a batch of shirts and they made a few dollars. They gave me back a few dollars. And next thing you know, I was walking around campus and seeing my shirt that I created that people gave me real money for. And I just kind of stared at someone and they were like, probably going, why are you staring at me? But it was my creation that was on campus. And that was really what the bug was bitten at that point. I was a marketing and real estate major, but I was bitten by this creative bug at that point. And my parents were not happy by any stretch.
Totally understand that. And I was thinking, I mean, getting into fashion, and it's, of course, you sold your products. You of course, felt really happy and really proud of yourself to see your products getting bought. I mean, what was it that you liked about it, that you liked about getting into fashion? What kind of got you stuck?
Yeah, you know, I think it was the creativity and the sense of independence. I love to control my own destiny, and that's what I saw in fashion. Because fashion is some of these kind of elusive industries where it's very sexy, very fun, very high energy, but you don't realize that you control your rooftop. And so I really liked having no limitations, honestly. And because, you know, I was an only child as well, and, you know, my sports background, I'm just a doer, and I'm okay with making mistakes and just getting better from the last play. You know, I put a lot of sports analogies into fashion. And that's what I liked about it. Honestly, I just felt that no one could hold me back, honestly.
And so now, I mean, from that background into today, when you help brands and when you help them grow and help them kind of get into this world, I mean, what does fashion mean to you today? What drives you today?
Yeah, you know, I think helping people in general fulfill their dreams. Helping them understand, could they be a good CEO? Could they be a good number two in a company or brand? Or could they be a good employee? Either way, I think people have dreams. And I'm always trying to tell them and help them fulfill them, but also be realistic at how tough it really is to be. And sometimes people figure out through my kind of process or my perspective that they might not be a good CEO. To run a company is completely different than working at a company. But maybe if you get in the seat of being a CEO for a while and you realize it's not for you, you could be a better teammate in the future, right? That's what I learned. I wasn't a captain on a team in the beginning. I was a great teammate first.
You mentioned being, I mean, it's a big difference from being someone that's kind of in the team or being someone that's actually the CEO. What was the lesson learned? Because when you ran your brand, like, what was the biggest lesson that you learned from when you were the CEO of your brand?
Oh yeah. Don't make all the mistakes I made. you know, I think that's what it always was is, you know, someone told me one time, it was a mentor that I looked up to, honestly. And I told her, you know, I want to help brands actually succeed. And I want them to take a shorter cut than I did and less tears and tribulation. And she literally told me, Anna, she said, why would you want to do that? They should go through the same pain as you and I. I was like, I don't like that. But I was shocked that this is a person I looked up to that told me actually, no, let them go through the same pain as you and I. Because she was still bitter at her plight, you know? But I said, this was over 10 years ago. I was like, I don't want to do it that way. I really want people to take a shorter version. That's their version. Save the money. Don't burn through relationships and burn bridges and credit cards and things like that. And actually, maybe they'll figure out sooner that it's not for them. That's cool. And that's okay. But maybe they didn't have to go through all the pain. And that's what I decided to do at that point.
And I mean, of course, it's funny that someone said that actually, but now when you think about it, with everything that exists, with the opportunities there are, like with you, with us, Apparel Entrepreneurship, with so many different platforms helping entrepreneurs, and also you've got YouTube, you've got Google, there's such an easier way. And we see also, because for us, we have so many brands coming to us after spending lots of money, after losing the money, coming like screaming, oh, help, what should I do now? Can you help save the situation? But it's not always, I mean, you can't do that. You can't really go back and undo it. So that's why it's great that the message comes out from your end. We are here to help, and the opportunity is here for grabs.
Yes, that is so, so true. The aftermath of people trying to, you know, bless their hearts, trying to do it themselves and approaching it how they think, you and I and Klaus know that it is completely opposite to run a fashion brand as to what you think on the outside looking. It's completely opposite. And so usually with a so-so product or an average product and not knowing what to do in fashion business is a bad mix. And you and I know that that's a lot of money lost in time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was thinking when you first started your brand and you said you started, for example, real estate. I mean, you didn't, you yourself taught. Where did you go back then to get industry knowledge? And did you just do trial and error or where did you turn?
Yeah, so great question. So for me, when I first came up with the concept of Femme Athletic, which was activewear for athletic women, I just was pretty good at listening to the marketplace. So being inside the training room and being around a lot of professional women athletes like Anna, you know, basketball, track, baseball, softball, these women were telling me what was missing in the marketplace. And so the first thing I did was actually listen to the marketplace that I was trying to get into. Those legitimate people told me what to make for them. So it was listening first. Second, I went to the early Googles and just looked up as many videos, which were very few at the time, as many books as possible, and found out what was really going on in this industry. It was like learning another language, honestly, right? Yeah. I studied real estate and marketing, but there was a new language, a new vernacular I had to learn. And that came from trial and error. And then third, I went to cut and sew people, right? In Arizona, a lot of the cut and sew people were actually Hispanic sewers. And so I went in the back door and talked to the sewers first about fabric and stretch and color fastness and cotton and Lycra. And I just learned it from the school of hard knocks, but from the people that really did it. If you put those three things together, I had a small shot of going successful.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. I mean, it sounds like you were a hard worker and studying hard.
Yes.
And today, when it comes to getting the latest in the fashion industry, what are the top three resources that you use or would recommend to our listeners to turn to?
Yeah. 100%. I'm a big book reader. So I read a lot of books on, I think, perspective and options. So books first. I love Seth Godin, The Purple Cow. Yes. How to stand out and be different amongst a sea of brown and white cows, you know? Mm-hmm. Got to go there first, right? Man, what's my second favorite book? How could I forget it? I love it, love it, love it. I'm going to come back to that book.
But yeah, I look at my do that, do show, that. I look a Purple Cow, that's a fantastic book. That's a must read for all the listeners.
Yes, Blue Ocean Strategy, which talks about being in a calm ocean, right? Being away from kind of the shark-infested bloody waters, very competitive. Do something that's different. And that's what we set out to do with Fashion Week as well as Femme Athletic. So love that. And I'm going to go look at my book bookshelf. Oh my gosh, I'm so upset. Good to Great.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's one of the first real business books that I read many years ago at one of my first jobs. That's a great book.
Yeah,
we're gonna link to all of the books in the show notes afterwards. So yeah.
Oh, super cool, super cool. And then from there, it was attending trade shows, Klaus. So being in the space, being in the booths, talking, you know, to buyers and brands, you know, and then visiting as many fashion weeks across the nation as possible. Obviously, my first fashion week I attended was New York Fashion Week, and then LA Fashion Week. And so just being, you know, a fly on the wall and just watching, I then took a lot of the things that they both did successfully and also not so great in the way of LA Fashion Week, and then put that over the Phoenix Fashion Week brand. And to understand that, you know, I was a volunteer on the Fashion Week team in the beginning and I worked my way up to the director spot. Again, going back to what you said, Klaus, a lot of hard work, but that's how I did it. I read, I got into the marketplace, you know, realistically. And then I attended as many trade shows as possible to really get the pulse of what was going on.
That's fantastic. How long did it take you from when you actually started working with them, getting involved with Phoenix Fashion Week till you actually to where you were the director?
Yeah. That's 4 years, you know,
wow.
In the beginning, we were all volunteering our time, everybody on the team. Mm-hmm. And that first year was a debacle, you know, a few people showed up. But I really saw the potential. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to go to New York Fashion Week because what we did here today was we put a flag in the ground for Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Yay, that's good. But what can we do different? And a lot of people quit that first year. They said, too much work. I'm out of here. which I can understand, right? And when I went to New York Fashion Week, I was like, man, there's layers in this system here. Okay, there's buyers, there's media, okay, there's sponsors, there's designers. They're, at the time, they didn't call them influencers, right? They're just bloggers and VIPs. I saw how the ecosystem worked, and I was able to kind of put those same layers back into our own thing. And I told the team, well, we're not going to be New York Fashion Week. So like always, let's go opposite of them. They care about established brands. Let's care about emerging brands that nobody cares about. And that was really kind of my second maybe step or second foray into doing going opposite of the marketplace, right? Going into the blue ocean.
So is that your mission and vision to like, what is that it to yes. be, to help emerging designers?
It is. It is. I think at the end of the day, my entire team and I, we want emerging fashion talent. So now it's designers, models, stylists, anyone that's a fashionpreneur, Anna, that want to run their own gig. We want to help them by applying. I think you would agree. Everything you guys teach is actually, it can go across any industry, really these same basic principles.
How has the current situation, because I mean, with what's going on in the world right now, how have you adapted as an event? What changes have you made or what changes will you be making for Fashion Phoenix Week?
Yeah. So first of all, it came to a complete halt. You know, you're talking, you know, mid-March, and we're a live event company that drives our revenue from ticket sales, sponsorship, and in event, you know, revenue, you know, drink sales and food sales and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it just completely halted. And we haven't had another event since then. But what we said was, we have to apply the things that we teach our designers to our own selves. And if we can't, you know, we have to drink our own Kool-Aid. And so we rewired and really worked on getting our virtual game up, right? So we love music, we love fashion, we put them together, we created a little platform called Fashion and Music, super fun, where we dressed up and coming artists as they gave in-home concerts. Then we did Beauty by You, another at-home deal where if you're gonna stay at home and Anna wants to look great for Klaus on a little date night, you can actually do Beauty by You tutorial from one of our experts. Yay, free. Then we did Fashionably Fit. It goes back to what I cared about, which is being, you know, fit. And you can get a workout and a yoga program complimentary of Phoenix Fashion Week in the mornings. And so suddenly we had a lot of cool virtual programming as we were learning, again, a new language, right? New vernacular. And that's what we're doing now.
What has the response been so far? Because we've followed you and it's fantastic.
Thank you. Over 10,000 new people who didn't know anything about us and in new circles, new ecosystems that are just intermingling. And it's been great. And we weren't in a rush to monetize that at all. But now as we look at our spring event that was put on hold, we now have reconfigured it, rewired it to become a style trend show happening July 11th, and it's going to be a virtual. And I hope that you guys will be involved. I've got some ideas, and it's going to be fun. We're going to do it. We're going to put it out there. We put a dollar value on the ticket price, and we're going to give people the same execution as a live event, but virtually.
That's a fantastic idea. We will definitely help you spread the word and get people to the online event. I mean, this is where it's at the moment. And we're seeing, and my next question is, of course, it's going to be about the current situation and about the entire market being completely, I mean, nothing is as it used to be. And what do you see? What do you recommend or what do you see for the future that brands need to do after this entire thing? Like, what's your projection? What do you think is going to happen?
Sure. I think there's going to be continue to be a natural flush out of brands that were on the weak link, brands that didn't have the depth of a brand story, the quality level wasn't there. I think those brands and retailers will continue to flush out. I think what you should do as a new brand or as an up and coming brand is really dial in your virtual and digital education and just know that you've got to be there going forward. This is the time to really go back and look at quality first, right? Really take your time and tell your story in your way to your market specifically. you can't be everything to everybody, but you can be great to the one or two people that love you. And then those two people can become four, and they can come become eight, and then 16. But I think that that slow road, doing the correct way, is really good, honestly.
We totally agree with you. We're seeing, I mean, honesty, and again, going back to the why, is so important. And we see small brands flourish, and we see big corporations going bust. And the transparency and the agility and the pivoting is so crucial and has been so, I mean, we've seen brands turn in like a couple of days. And that, I mean, how amazing is that? And of course, the world, you can never change what's happening in the world, but you can change and you can see how you react to what's happening. And if you can kind of take advantage and almost see whatever's happening in the world as an opportunity, you're unstoppable.
Yes. I love that word, unstoppable. I'm going to write that down. I like that word a lot. You're right. You know, I think in 2008, 2009, what brands came out of that crazy recession, right? The Facebooks of the world, the Teslas, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And right now, apparel entrepreneurship is that next Tesla coming out of this. That's how I see it. And other brands should look at themselves the same way. And why not me?
Yeah, totally.
So for emerging designers and brands, what do you think are the new kind of rules? What are your tips for their success now going forward from this?
Sure. I would say consistency. And you know, some people are shy, so I get it, but let's say you're not a video person and put yourself out there like that. Yeah. But writing your thoughts on a consistent basis is really important. People have tons and tons of choices every day now. And the consistent voice, I feel, is where the power is. Consistent voice, right? Mm-hmm. I think that alignments and collaborations like us today also don't cost money. They cost time, which is very valuable right now. But if you know who you are, and you know who your collaborators are, think of the power of two and the power of three, right? Mm-hmm. It's exponential. And so that's the second item I would do. And then three, let's get into that blue ocean. Let's design something unique. Like Anna said earlier, let's design something that has depth. Go back to what drew you in the beginning and tell that story. There's more to it than you realize. And fourth, your phone. Just go to your phone, find out your connects and your contacts there, and just talk to them. Say, hello, Adam. It's A in my alphabet in my phone. This is Brian. We haven't talked forever. What have you been up to, Adam? This is what I've been up to. Just want to check out, see how you're doing. And Adam says, you know what, Brian? I didn't realize that you're into this. I work for this retailer. We should talk. I didn't realize that you're into this, Brian. I work for this brand. I think it'd be a good alignment. We do this. Cupcakes. We do music. We make microphones. You have no idea what's in your phone, except that you have 1,000 contacts.
That's powerful. And unfortunately, people don't do it. People don't realize. And I think just people are just busy or thinking they're busy. And it could, because all these things, they're basic, right? I mean, it's like going back to the basic, actually talking to people, reaching out.
Yeah, but also, as you said, some people are just shy picking up the phone. I know how it is. One of my first jobs was as a phone salesman. So in the beginning, I was really uncomfortable. But, you know, I mean, you get over it. After a few calls, it's like nothing again. So it's for all the people that are shy, just start doing it. It will get easier.
Mm-hmm. One step ahead.
One step.
Baby step. Yeah.
I think everybody wanted, you know, Klaus, they wanted your kind of success after your 10th or 15th or 20th phone call. They want that on call number one, but it just can't happen like that. You've got to make the 15 or 20 phone calls and you'll get to your own comfort zone. And there's no better way of doing it than that. And that goes back to fitness. You guys are both athletes. There's no way you could be a better runner until you actually run.
Nope.
So true. Nope. So true.
And even for us, I mean, everybody's first thing, you can never compare that to someone else's 137th. So you always have to think about it, about your first step, and just do it. Yeah.
Yes.
And great tips for emerging designers. And what would you say, what would your tips be for established brands?
Yeah.
What tips do you have for them?
I think established brands have to go back to the drawing board and just reevaluate top down. Everything you did, you know, before COVID and before what's going on in our civil rights, was it necessary? Is it going to be necessary going forward? And what I think is by doing a reevaluation, a cleaning of the closet, so to speak, you'll come with a new lean company and then you'll remember why you did it in the very beginning. I think from that, new directions will happen, honestly, mm-hmm. for these established brands. They just forgot who they were and who mm-hmm. they are.
Yes.
Totally. And also when brands get so big, I think, and also, I mean, you don't even have to be big and have like 300 employees, but even like brands, like I've worked with brands that were like 10 employees, but they behaved like they had 500 employees. Everything was super complex and super, instead of trying, even as you grow, instead of, you know, trying to be and behave as a big brand, even though you grow, but try to more simulate how small brands think and be constantly on your feet and constantly, you know, tweaking and adjusting and not trying to become so complex. I think that's just, I don't know literally where that comes from, but it's such a, I don't really know where I'm trying to get with this, but it's
people
a shame.
Complicating people,
yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. That's it.
I think also complacency plays a role with those brands, right? They just get really easy and make things complex because they think that they're doing work, right? You mm-hmm. know how they do busy work? Mm. But creating busy work for people makes it all complex. Why you stay complacent? Mm. But if you stayed on your feet and stayed nimble like young brands have to do, right? That hunger, they can go back to that hunger. Mm.
That's a good one. Go back to the hunger.
Yeah, it's going to be a real interesting future now, just the upcoming months even. But let's talk a little bit more about the Emerging Designers Bootcamp. Tell yes. us and the listeners a bit about it and also how designers can apply to this.
Thank you. So maybe 8-9 years ago, when designers were coming into the Fashion Week show, Phoenix Fashion Week, you know, a denim brand would come and they would have, you know, their clothing line. They would go to all the parties, have the martinis, you know, meet models, do all those different things. And then they would go back home. And I would say, hey, how did the sales go of the denim? Oh, you know, Brown was really busy. I didn't really have time to really get out there, hit the buyers. But we had a great show. Thank you very much for the pictures and video. And great. I was like, I think you need to get sales though while you were here, right? So then the next year, when brands came in, I just made a couple suggestions. I said, hey, you should probably call a few denim stores before you come to Phoenix, just for safety's sake, maybe invite them to come out to the show, okay? And then maybe not party as much, but try to see if some people love denim sitting in the seats. You can maybe talk to them about your brand. I don't know. And so they did a couple of those things, and they said, hey, you know, Brian, I got a couple sales from that. I was like, okay, that's good. That's good.
Good.
And then I kind of made it mandatory. So each season I was making these basic things, going back to being common sense, really important. Because I said to myself, if they got sales, their sales manager back in the home headquarters would say, go back to Phoenix Fashion next year, no matter what. So it didn't really matter if they liked Brian or not or the team or not. But if they got sales, the sales manager said, that's a good show, right? But because back then, going back to being complacent, people just thought that partying and having a good time was really, you know, fashion. Just, it really wasn't. And people were making sales, but they never knew where they came from. And so that's how we built the live bootcamp, we call it. And it evolved to become this 4-month kind of a beast of things that was everything that you should do to have success at a fashion week. Sales, marketing, press, et cetera. And it was amazing, except that we can only handle about 12 to 15 brands every season. And so a couple hundred people would try out for it. We'd say no to them because we didn't have the bandwidth. And that's what was live bootcamp. Fast forward to maybe 2 years ago, I said, let's offer a shorter version of that, which we call the Digital Designer Bootcamp. And for all the people we said no to, let's give them another option that's shorter, you know, less investment, and just really going back to what Anna said, we figured out that it was too complex. The live bootcamp was, we called the beast. So we set a simpler version, 6 weeks, not as many things, but to build a foundation. And that's what we have now. And it's been really successful. People are changing their trajectory and they can consume it in a shorter version. And it's also digital, not knowing that COVID would happen, not knowing that everything would go to this virtual platform. But we were lucky enough to already start it again, you know, 1.5 years ago. And so now hundreds of designers have gone through it. And our next one we're excited to say is July 22nd. And it's really easy to apply. People just DM me at Fashion Rewired or at Fashion at Phoenix Fashion Week. It's actually PHX Fashion Week. And they just tell me about their brand and we send them an application. It's free to apply. And we try to align with the best brands that can have a trajectory, right?
What type of brands do you take on? Is it all sorts of sports or activewear, fashion? What brands do you take on? Menswear, women'swear? What's the selection?
Thank you. We're going to go all of the above. Oh. It's any apparel brand, actually. And what's funny is in this last season, a boutique owner joined and also a stylist, which we never even tried. And they applied the same principles of the Digital Emerging Designer Bootcamp to their boutique business online and to their styling business online. And we were blown away and we loved the challenge. And so now we're just saying it's for any fashionpreneur, actually. It's emerging.
That's phenomenal. Do you follow up with the designers to see how they, you know, how they succeed or not? Or what's the procedure after when they graduate?
Yeah. So what happens is a few things happen. When they're done, we give them a few options. You can then apply to the live bootcamp, which is 4 months long, which leads right into Phoenix Fashion Week every fall. And that's a really competitive tryout. Second, you can take the applications that you learned in the digital bootcamp and apply them. And I'm here, me, Brian, for cash investment in your company if you need it. I'm here, me, Brian, to invest in your purchase orders or factoring. So we actually will provide capital if needed. Then we're here for consulting ongoing, and we're also here for collaboration. We might point them in the direction of, you know, Anna and Klaus at Apparel Entrepreneurship because they need this specific work and help. We might put them in the direction of a cut and sew facility throughout the United States and abroad that might need that exact step for them. And so assessing them after the boot camps, we're able to put them in the right direction.
That's phenomenal. It's such an opportunity for designers. And we're definitely going to put, of course, all the links in the show notes. And I'm thinking from the brands that have passed through the bootcamp, what are some success ingredients that you see in the brands that make it? Like, what are they doing that others don't?
Systems. They apply the systems into their brand to scale. They drop their ego at the door and understand that this is going to be new to them and painful, and follow up and follow through while designing something unique and high quality. If they can do those four things consistently, they've got a shot, honestly.
Isn't it funny again? It's so basic. It's so basic and everything literally, like, that's our red thread throughout this whole conversation, going back to the basic, keep it simple.
Yes.
And also, I mean, you have done the journey yourself with starting a clothing brand and you work with all these hundreds of designers. What would be your top tips for designers, how they best can prepare to actually start doing this?
Yeah, I like some homework in your industry to find out what's working and what's missing. I like what's missing the most so that you can provide something that hasn't been done in your marketplace, which is very difficult, I know. But again, if you can start with your habit of doing what's missing in the marketplace, finding a niche that's been underperforming or undervalued, that's where it should really start, honestly, right?
Yeah.
And then your due diligence goes from there. I'm making this up. You find a niche in a particular marketplace, then you can start doing who makes and who cuts and who sews and who produces in that marketplace that's missing, right? So you can have some options. I think sometimes people go with their first option for cut and sew, for example, and you and I both know that that's probably a bad deal. I always say, let's find three cut and sew facilities. So they know that there's competition for your business. Just that little thing alone helps everybody to be transparent. Think about the last thing that you proposed or the last event that you put your brand out there for, when you knew that other people were also going for the business, it made you just a little bit sharper mm-hmm. in that process.
Yeah. So actually you need to put in some work even before you start working on your brand.
100%. I believe that. Yeah. We want you to move quickly. Like Anna said, right? In 2 days you can do something really brilliant. I still believe you've got to do some research and development in that to be smart, right?
Totally. And I was thinking, we've discussed a little bit about the Phoenix Fashion Week and also the bootcamp. What is the future? What is the future of both of them? Where do you want to take it? Yeah. What's the big vision?
The big vision is to have this, to be Phoenix Fashion Week, the choice for global brands that want to penetrate the U.S. market. They start with us. You're established or emerging, and you're in the Philippines, you're in Dubai, and you want to penetrate this U.S. market. Your first stop is Phoenix Fashion Week. They're going to provide the education, the platform, your support, your back office, all the collaborating partners like Apparel Entrepreneurship to get you into the United States effectively. That's one. B, I want it to be a platform where, like a South by Southwest or Coachella, we want to be the fashion event in the Southwest that people come to spawn big ideas and leave with a new perspective and a new partnership.
I love that. You're on your way with what you're doing. And what I think is key for what you're doing is the community and also the culture you're bringing in. It's not just about clothing. It's not just about apparel. It's the culture and it's the whole thing that you're bringing together. I totally see that for you. Exciting to follow along the journey.
Oh, you guys will be there. We talked about this. I can't wait to meet you both in person. I feel that you guys will be a part of what we're doing. I'll be a part of everything you're doing. That's not going to stop regardless. If the internet goes down tomorrow, I'll still write you guys old school style.
And so I like that.
You're also, let's move a little bit away from the Fashion Week and the bootcamp, and let's talk a little bit about the Fashion Rewire podcast. I mean, you've interviewed some amazing guests. I had the honor to be your guest as well. And can you please talk a little bit about how you came up with that idea? It's such a great idea.
Yeah, you didn't mention Brian. You're actually the host of the
Fashion
Rewire podcast.
Yes, you are the host. Yes. And how did you come up with the Rewire concept? It's brilliant.
Thank you. I think it's like you said, with the common red thread through our conversation today, the Fashion Rewire podcast was me just doing an offshoot of the boot camps and listening to all the things that these designers said that they struggle with. And so I knew I wanted to do a podcast, but I just didn't want to do something that was going to be like everybody else. But I wanted to talk to what I was the most comfortable with, which was rewiring people for success. And how do you do that? Bring in some successful people that also had to rewire for real, right? Mm. That also had to pivot and go in different directions for real from different backgrounds of fashion and entrepreneurship. And I think that sometimes people don't want to hear me talk every day, Brian, but they want to hear what Anna said, what Klaus said. And suddenly it starts to stick with them. The way they said that one phrase, they can apply it to their brand. And so I was very lucky that rewired, everyone knew what the word meant. Mm-hmm. Right, globally, and then the fashion part made it, you know, kind of fun to go together. And I've been blessed to have, you know, amazing, you know, guests so far. But it's really just like a little, you know, tutorial, a cheat sheet, you know, cliff notes on how to do it. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
And it's also so simple. And it's the takeaways that literally, as a listener, you can just take and apply.
Yes.
So it's genius. What does the future look like for the podcast? Do you want to take it? What ideas, big ideas do you
thank
have?
Thank you.
For?
I want Fashion Rewired to move to multiple times per week. I want to continue to talk with the tops in business and fashion and continue to help rewire people. And we're working on a classroom curriculum, believe it or not, of Fashion Rewired that will be taught in schools. And how amazing is it that we just we practiced it at a educational conference back in January 2020, where we talked to fashion educators, and they said, if you can get to fashion students at a younger age, juniors and seniors in high school, and they can hear these rewire moments from us, you know, experienced brands, they can actually apply these when they're 15, 16 years old.
I love that.
And so I'm really excited about the curriculum being included in fashion schools.
Oh, wow. That's powerful. Imagine that ripple effect that this is going to have.
Wow. Oh, 100%. Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny because we actually used your podcast, your blueprint, Anna, as one of the kind of worksheets. And eventually these same kids will be in their schools, will be reaching out to these guests on the podcast direct and saying, you know, Anna, like you being an athlete, you know, and a female athlete, then applying it to your own startup. I want to do that same thing, but I'm 17, but I can do it now based on what you said in your podcast. Like that's super powerful to me.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It is. It's going to have an impact.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And the younger, I mean, because kids, I mean, even for us, when we went to school, we did not get taught all that. It's like the schooling system is so old and it does not prepare you for the modern life and for reaching for your, you know, going for your passion and reaching for whatever you want to create with your life. It's more like follow this path, do this. You know, it's just too old. The system doesn't work. But when people follow other leaders and kind of go in their footsteps, they can, like you said earlier, they can reach it faster and without making all the crazy mistakes that also can be very expensive.
Oh,
I mean, we've talked about so many different things, and you've said so many valuable, extremely inspirational things in this interview. I'm thinking now, because you have so much going on, like what motivates you every day? Because you've got so many things going on. Like what's your, when you wake up, what motivates you?
Oh, you know, I'm so driven by improving myself. I'm still driven by helping someone else to improve themselves that really want to. And that's it. I can't believe what I discover every day. I can't believe what I learn every day. I'm a very blessed person, honestly, to even be able to have all these opportunities that have come before me. And but I'm still competitive every day.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm still competitive, you know, and I want to make myself better.
Yeah. So what's next for you then?
Yeah, I think, I do want to say this. I'm trying to do it also better with my time, right? Because I do have a lot going on. Obviously, with COVID, I've got to spend more time with my daughter. And in her Father's Day card, she said how much she loved more time together. And I love that because I feel I'm accomplishing a lot right now, but yet she feels I'm with her more. That's major, right?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
It's important.
I want to continue that. I want to continue to be smart with my time, being effective with my collaborators, right? And I think that that's really important. I think I had to learn. I think COVID was a wake-up call for me, Brian. It said, you have a lot going on, and you also go back to your basics, and do you need everything, and what really matters? And in her, Jada, saying that, it tell me what matters. And so I'm excited about that, and I want to continue. I want to visit you guys in Sweden one day and
yes.
be able to leave you and be okay with leaving.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, you mentioned you are more effective. What are you doing? Because all entrepreneurs want to get more out of each day. So what's your secret? Are you a 5 a.m. person?
Yeah, ooh, I love that. You know that when I did the I was 5 a.m., Anna, when I did the podcast with you because we were in Fashion Week. So I don't do 5 a.m. anymore. I wake up at a comfortable time between 6 and 7 a.m., but I just have priorities that have been built the day before or the week before. And I really try to work on those top few priorities for that day. And I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. I bet you read The One Thing, right?
Yes.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. And I can't believe it. I just can't believe that I'm doing less things, feeling fulfilled. And I feel I'm getting, the same response, if not better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you're so right with this COVID situation, just putting a perspective on things. And also, you have a look at things that you've taken for granted before. And hopefully, most people are just going to learn from this situation and so they'll be better, going forward from this, and also better prepared when things don't go according to plan.
Mm. Yes.
And let's see, this has been a fantastic chat, but if you could leave our listeners with your top three thoughts or tips on how to achieve success in the fashion industry, what would those be?
Sure. I would say create something that doesn't exist, that's unique and have a high quality. Second, do your research. Three, rinse and repeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Word.
Yeah.
That's it. Done.
Yeah, that's it.
But again, I mean, it's so simple.
It is.
What you're saying, again, it's back to basics. And if everybody would do that, we wouldn't have so many shitty brands in the world or so many brands going bust because they are not making money.
Oh, it's so, so true. I mean, in America, a lot of brands, Anna and Klaus, they put a lot of money behind them and they've almost like ensured their success by just burning so much money, you know? And that worked, but it doesn't work like that anymore. The future's not that.
No. Look at Diane von Furstenberg. Look at what happened.
Yes.
So how sad is that?
It's super sad. And we you and I both know it's not going to be the last sad story.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Okay. So back to wrapping up with this entire fantastic interview. Is there something that we should have asked you but didn't? Is there anything else that you want to share?
No, I'm really excited. I think something we touched on earlier, and it could be a whole nother podcast on this alone. I'm excited that the civil rights in America and globally are being, revisited, 100% rewired, and it's just amazing what people can do consistently. They're the protesters, the peaceful people, the outside the box thinkers. They're getting things done. And they're applying the same things that we just talked about here, honestly, being consistent, right? Mm-hmm. Applying high quality. It is unique to rewire some of these civil rights that have been kind of trounced on in America alone. Yes. And I'm just super excited to see what's next and being able to align with these new thinkers. It's really exciting.
Yes.
Totally agree on that. Where can people find you and get in touch with you? And also with, Phoenix Fashion Week and also the bootcamp. We will link in the show notes as well. But where can people find you? The fastest.
Sure.
The fastest way to get in touch with you.
Yeah. The fastest, I would say, it's always Brian, Brian, at phoenixfashionweek.com, all spelled out. If you want to go one click less, go to Instagram, at Fashion Rewired. Or at PHX Fashion Week. I'm there all the time. I'm answering any question you need. No problemo. I'm here to help. And it's been a blessing. Thank you guys so much for today. It's been so fun.
And you have shared so much value. I can't believe, we should have done this way earlier. We're extremely grateful that you wanted to come on and we're looking forward to meeting in person. To giving you a hug when we can actually hug people again. We're Swedish and Swedes hug. That's what we do. And now with COVID, it's very hard.
The situation is over. Yeah, we're coming over.
We're coming over. We want to meet you and to help your fashion designers as much as we can.
Awesome. You guys are an ongoing part of our brand. That invitation is always open. I cannot wait to visit Sweden. I've heard so many great things about it. And we're going to be face-to-face sooner than later, okay? Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Stay safe and hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay. You guys take it easy.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for showing up and for taking your time to listen. And a mega universal hug to each and every one of you that has taken your time to leave a review. I know you're busy, but the fact that you took the time to rate and leave a thoughtful review for our podcast means a lot to us. We are extremely grateful, and you are the reason why we show up here every week. And by the way, are you an Apparel Entrepreneurship Podcast subscriber? No? Wait, what? Why not? Do you know that if you don't subscribe, you might miss out on vital new episodes? Okay, so take a second, literally, that's all it takes, and go subscribe and you'll be notified when a new episode is up. That was it for today. Take care, stay safe, be strong, and talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.